When you need to refuel between meetings or running errands, or you just want a healthy snack that squashes your hunger, Wonderful Pistachios, which come in a variety of flavors and sizes, by the way, are the perfect choice to fill you up and keep you going throughout the day. Wonderful Pistachios is also a good source of protein and a zero-guilt snack. Each 1 ounce serving has 6 grams of protein, guys, which gives you over 10% of your daily value. And with flavors like salt and pepper, sweet chili, and seasoned salt in the shelled variety, options like chili roasted, sea salt, and vinegar or jalapeno lime in the no-shell variety, you're sure to please your taste buds while snacking healthy. So check out wonderfulpistachios.com to learn more about how these little green wonders can power up your day. Quick math, beauties. The less your business spends on operations, on multiple systems, on delivering your product or service, the more margin you have and the more money you keep. But with higher expenses on materials, employees, distribution, and borrowing, everything just costs more. NetSuite is the number one cloud financial system, bringing accounting, financial management, inventory, HR into one platform and one source of truth. With NetSuite, you reduce IT costs because NetSuite lives in the cloud with no hardware required, access from anywhere. You cut the cost of maintaining multiple systems because you've got one unified business management suite. You improve efficiency by bringing all your major business processes into one platform, slashing manual tasks and errors. Over 37,000 companies have already made the move, so do the math and see how you'll profit with NetSuite. By popular demand, NetSuite has extended its one-of-a-kind flexible financing program for a few more weeks. Head to netsuite.com/Jillian. That's netsuite.com/Jillian. netsuite.com/Jillian. Hey guys, I know we're all working so hard to stay fit and healthy at home with all the gyms closed. So check out my app. I have free daily 7-minute workouts. Download the app. It's Jillian Michaels Fitness app. Download it. Do the 7-minute workouts. You don't need any equipment. There's total body workouts, ab workouts, leg workouts. You get a new one every single day. And if you want more, obviously, there's a heck of a lot more in the app. There's over 1,000 different exercises. All of my DVD workouts are in the app. I can customize a workout for you in the app. There's freaking yoga, kickboxing, HIIT training, outdoor runs, bodyweight training, free weights. There are thousands of recipes, no matter what your diet preferences are. But at the very least, please do the 7-minute workouts for free. All right, guys. Welcome to the show this week. We have a bit of a different show. And I'm going to be totally forthcoming here. My little parrot died, and I have been incapable of doing a podcast with Cindy. We've tried all morning, and I was like, I wonder if my mom would be able to come on and do a segment on how people grieve, because in the last week, I have truly, I called my mom and thought I was having a psychotic break. I was like, yeah. I can't think clearly. Like, I wanted to put my fist through a wall at one point. Another point, I was like, I'm never going to be okay again. And I understand that some of you are like, that's ridiculous. It's a bird. Like, I understand that, you know, people lose children, people lose parents. But the bottom line is, you know what, Mom? Maybe you can explain that. Sure. Grief is really, because I just don't even know how to explain it. But the bottom line
it's
is like,
okay.
I am fucking destroyed.
Okay,
destroyed. First. And I thought you could explain like when they lose someone and what the process of this is, because I feel like I'm losing my mind.
Okay, first of all, Jillian is not psychotic. You're not losing your mind.
Oh, we should mention that my mom is a PhD psychoanalyst as well.
PsyD psychoanalyst, honey.
Okay, but then you're a doctor.
Yes.
An introduction is generally a good thing.
In this shit.
This is her specialty. She's her life's work. Okay. And her name is Joanne McCares. This is what she does. So you guys didn't think, oh, she just called her mom. That's bizarre.
That would be okay, too.
Yeah, but, that would be fine.
Well, I did call her as my mom originally. So and anyway, I'm sorry, Mom. Go ahead.
Okay. Well, I'm going to sort of pick up where you left off, sweetheart, which is that some people would say it's just a bird. Nothing could be farther from the truth. First of all, one of the reasons losing our pets is so deeply excruciating is because there's no conflict between an owner and a pet. Human relationships are much more difficult and much more complex, but we don't fear being vulnerable with our pets. And they love us and we love them, and so to lose them, it touches us in a very deep, deep place. Bonsai was not just a bird. Bonsai was part of Jillian. Jillian did everything with Bonsai. Yeah. And the bird was attached only to her. And he, really, Bonsai became a part of Jillian. She took the bird inside her heart. And Bonsai became a part of it. And at this point, right now, because it's so fresh for Jillian, I've told her it must feel like she's lost her right hand. Because every time she goes to do something where normally Bonsai would be there, she's reminded that she isn't.
Like, I can't even record this podcast because she'd just be screaming the entire time while we're home. Because yeah. It would be like, oh, you're home?
Yeah.
And then I would be like, oh, my God, I've got to give her, like, 18 cookies to be quiet while we record. Or it's like, and back in the day, I used to take her to the studio. Like, literally, I would take her to the studio. I would just take her in her little cart. And, you know, but we didn't take her to Wondery. I started taking Seven because Seven was getting older, so I was like, oh, I better start taking Seven, so I have every single minute, and it just came out of the blue. But like the feel, like you feel like you're like, I'm never gonna get over this. I'm never gonna be the same. I'm permanently damaged from this. You know, I mean, it's like, even though I know, by the way, it's not my first freaking rodeo, and yet I'm like, oh, I no, you know, like that, it'll never be okay again. Or, and then I'm like, no, it's not real. And then I wait to wake up. I'm like, okay, wake up, come on. You know, it's like the most, I just feel like I'm psychotic. I'm all over the place.
Sweetie, I'm not sure that you're still out of the first phase of grief, which is shock and denial, because it was so very sudden. You had no time to prepare for it. You didn't expect it. Bonsai was a Senegal who was going to live for decades. She was going to outlive you. So you're still, I think, in shock. And talking about stages of grieving, I'm going to use one of the more well-known ones, which is Elizabeth Kubler-Ross. She has her stages of grief. The acronym is DABDA, D-A-B-D-A. And according to her, the first stage is denial. The second stage is anger. The third stage is bargaining. The fourth stage is depression, and the fifth stage is acceptance. Now, there are many more ways to talk about loss. This is just a simplest one. And you move in and out of those stages. They don't necessarily happen chronologically, although shock and denial is generally basically the first one. But you move in and out of them. And Jillian has gone through just about the full four already. Of course, she hasn't achieved acceptance yet. And she's going to keep going in and out of them because that's the stage of grieving. And it does feel like you are never going to be the same again. And it is so painful. And yet, that's part of life. And we have to be able to grieve to move on and reconnect to life and others and love other animals, love other people. So this is where she's at, and you have to be able to bear it. And Jillian is strong enough to bear it, but she's suffering.
I think so.
Yes, you are, but you are, Jillian, and she's suffering a lot. Now, having said that, you must have support of some sort when you're grieving. It's impossible to grieve this kind of loss, a deep, loving loss, without support, because you will feel you're going crazy.
What if people don't have the, like what if they don't?
They have to have somebody, otherwise you call a hotline.
Okay.
I don't have any numbers right now, but I'm sure there are hotlines for people who have lost animals. I'm sure there are.
Or even, like, what if I lost a parent? I mean, like, I know people, someone said to me on the beach the other day, because he, you know, knows me and knows the bird, and he's like, well, surely you've lost a parent. I was like, I have not. And he's like, oh, Jill. And I was like, oh, that's enough.
I have.
Good
obviously.
Seeing you, Jay. And I just walked away. I was like, it's been a real pleasure bumping into you on this walk. Oh, my God.
Honey, I've lost both my parents. And again, it's a process. And also, you know, let me add something else about loss. When we endure a loss, it triggers losses from our past as well. You may not be conscious of it, or you may, but it triggers all the losses from your life, from your childhood, from, you know, the years that you've been alive on this earth. It triggers all of those. And so that just exacerbates it.
Is there judging of behavior of it's like, because like I... You know, it's interesting, I've been very fortunate, but I do know other people who, you know, people will say like, oh, now, come on, now get up. Or like, all right, now let's, you know, now don't do that. That's not, you know, and it's like, I think people don't know what to do to help as well. And they feel like that's the thing. My girlfriend's been great. Of course, as you know, I clearly have my mom, and even my little brother's been fantastic, but it's like, I got to the point where I would just watch videos of her over and over and over again, because it was oh my God, like, what's happening? And you think like you're just like you know, is that like, do you judge that? Do you stop that? Like, what?
You don't judge anything. Here's the thing. First of all, honey, everybody is going to grieve in their own individual way. The stages of grief remain the same, but the behavior is completely dependent upon the uniqueness of the person who's grieving. So in terms of people who try and make you feel better, there can be a real downside to that. Now, I'm not saying if somebody is so deeply lost in their grief that they can't function, then they need some professional help. And there may be times where you may see that the person who's grieving is just exhausted, at which point you can say, come on, honey, let's go do something. But as you know, Jillian, for me, you must not try to distract. Like, I don't want to distract you from your grief. I want to be there with you and help support you. You need to cry as much as you need to cry. You need to grieve in whatever way. And people sometimes who mean well, by trying to distract you too soon, they're not doing you a service.
Right.
Because they're trying to run over your feelings. They're trying to say, let's get away from them quickly. And
right.
I'm here to tell you, feelings do not dissipate. They are there. And when we don't grieve them through, they are still in our body. And they can come out in any one of several different ways.
Like
depression,
disease, physical sickness. Okay.
Yes. I was going to get to that. Depression, addiction, and disease. Absolutely.
Oh, wow.
And you somatize.
I didn't even realize the addiction connection.
Oh,
of course.
But think, honey, losses come in all kinds. Could be loss of a childhood, loss of a good parent. And I'm not talking, again, just about somebody dying. We all experience losses throughout our lives that don't have to do with someone dying. But nevertheless, when you do lose someone you love deeply, it does trigger all the losses, even though you may not be aware of them. So if you need, and believe me, I've watched you watch the videos with Bonsai, and you know you're in so much pain, and in some ways it's painful for me to see you in that kind of pain, but I wouldn't have it any other way. That's what you need to do. And I'm right there to just support you. And Jillian is grieving so powerfully. And it takes so much strength, and She loved bonsai. Bonsai is a part of her. When we lose someone, like bonsai or a friend or a parent or whatever, we truly lose a part of ourselves that has to heal. Bonsai was not just a bird. She was a part of you, Jillian.
That is how it feels. It feels like you've lost a piece of yourself and you're just never going to be okay again. And if somebody loses somebody, and because I remember something bad, really bad happened a couple years ago with one of our animals. And a friend of mine was like, you need to bury this. Like, literally, just this is you need to lock this shit in a box. No. And because it was bad. I mean, and I kept seeing it in my head, and I was like, I can't get this out of my head. And, you know, what would be like, so I've just lost somebody. Is there like a step, or do I just allow myself to kind of, so I get support, and then is there any sort of like process, Mom, that someone can pursue, or you just allow it to play out?
No, darling, you can't pursue a process. I mean, people ask me that just when they come into therapy for anything. They just think that they want, tell me what to do.
It's so type A. I'm on a timeline. I need to be functioning by the end of the year.
If it's not organic, if it isn't organic and it isn't authentic, it isn't going to work. And yes, we know people who absolutely can cut off from their feelings. Let me tell you, those people are really not fully alive.
Yeah.
You have to be in touch with your feelings in order to live life to its fullest. And that includes pain and joy and everything in between. So for people to say you have to...
What if they're like, I can't fall apart, I have kids?
If you're going to, first of all, let me just say this. If you bury it, you're in trouble. There's no burying this.
Right.
There is no burying these kinds of things. They'll just stay with you and make you sick emotionally, mentally, or physically. So that's the reality there. And then I'm sorry, honey, what was your last question?
What do you do when you have kids and you're like, I don't have the luxury of falling apart?
Okay, if you feel falling apart, if you really feel you're going to fall apart, where you're not going to be able to function seriously for, I don't know, a matter of time, not just an hour or two, then you may need professional help and maybe even psychotropic meds. But just for normal mourning, the way you are, Jillian, again, I think you have to reassure your children that you're okay, but that you're really, really sad about losing whomever. And you're going to be crying off and on. But what you don't want to do is scare your children by being so out of control that they're frightened. So you do need to try to keep it together. That doesn't mean don't cry. They need to know what grieving is like. But if you are in a place where your kids are going to be scared, then you need to pull it together and or get somebody to help you with the kids.
Right.
Or even, like, I would even take the kids if they were in a difficult place.
Right, right.
Yeah.
Mom, how can people find you? I know you hate this. Are
I
you
do
even
hate it.
I know, but this is just...
I do. They can Google me. I'm not going to give out my phone number. They can Google me.
My mom...
I don't like doing that. It's... No.
She feels like she... But it's
like attorneys advertising.
It's not like...
Better call Saul.
Yes!
Better call Joanne.
But what if somebody wants an analyst?
They can Google me, sweetheart. They can Google me.
All right. Her name is Joanne Macaris, Mckarus. I actually don't know if she's got any patient openings now because she won't share any of that information with me because she's weird and everything's private.
Well, and like...
It's called ethics, honey. It's called ethics. So that's...
But you also know I'm working from home now electronically.
Yes, that's
since
right.
I'm self-quarantining. Yeah, so yes. Everything is electronic.
Well, everyone is. Every therapist is.
Yeah. Oh, no, yeah. I know.
All
I
therapists
know that,
are. They're
yeah.
all doing that, including mine.
We have no choice. We
thank
have
God.
Choice.
Thank yeah. God for it. Cause
oh, shit. Yeah. Yeah. Thank you, Mama.
You're welcome, sweetie. We'll
I
talk later.
You. Yeah.
I love you, too.
Personally, I would rather not wear socks at all if the socks don't fit right. And there's a company called Features that Giancarlo swears by. They're family run, and when they became sponsors of the show, I was super excited to try them, and I am glad I did. There's no comparison. They fit so well. Features socks have different levels of cushioning, an anatomical design that conforms to the left-right shape of my foot, and targeted compression that's like a hug around my arch so they don't bunch up or slip around, which makes me so happy. Plus, they have a lifetime guarantee. Features are so durable that if at any point you're not happy with them, they'll replace them. Seaway Features has quickly become the number one running sock in America. For listeners of the Jillian Michaels Show, you can receive $10 off your first pair of Features by going to features.com and using my code Jillian. That's $10 off your first pair when you go to FEETURES.com and enter the promo code Jillian at checkout. Again, that's features.com and use my code Jillian to get $10 off your first pair of Features. Quick math, beauties. The less your business spends on operations, on multiple systems, on delivering your product or service, the more margin you have and the more money you keep. But with higher expenses on materials, employees, distribution, and borrowing, everything just costs more. NetSuite is the number one cloud financial system, bringing accounting, financial management, inventory, HR into one platform and one source of truth. With NetSuite, you reduce IT costs because NetSuite lives in the cloud with no hardware required, access from anywhere. You cut the cost of maintaining multiple systems because you've got one unified business management suite. You improve efficiency by bringing all your major business processes into one platform, slashing manual tasks and errors. Over 37,000 companies have already made the move, so do the math and see how you'll profit with NetSuite. By popular demand, NetSuite has extended its one-of-a-kind flexible financing program for a few more weeks. Head to netsuite.com/Jillian. That's netsuite.com/Jillian. netsuite.com/Jillian.
Okay, we're going to change gears a little bit here with Dr. Gail Salt, psychoanalyst and psychiatrist at New York Presbyterian Hospital. And Jillian, I know you want to add this part.
The host of the awesome new podcast, Personalogy, where she psychologically examines the historical lives of significant individuals like Martin Luther King, John Lennon, Teddy Roosevelt, Frida Kahlo, Einstein, Houdini, Van Gogh, Hitler. It is awesome. But today, she's here with us. Hi, Gail.
Hi.
You're so kind for joining us. Thank you so much. So, Gail, a little background here. We've been looking at the pandemic, obviously, like everybody else has. And Cindy and I, as laymen, have been kind of disheartened at how much this has further divided us at a time when you would think, oh, a common foe, right? Like, surely this would bring us together, be it across generations, across ethnicities, across political parties. And instead, it's made the rift and the divide seemingly far worse. And in my experience of it, it's been almost weaponized by the media or different groups with different agendas. And we don't have the expertise to really understand it, comment on it, tell people what to do. And so I was like, we need Gail to tell us, why is this happening?
Yeah.
How are people meant to feel, and what can we do?
Yeah, yeah. Well, you know, sadly, the reality is that fear tends to make people dig in further and cling more desperately to the belief system that they already thought kept them safe.
Oh, wow.
And
okay.
So what you see in situations where there is terror, and, you know, I think, you know, maybe some groups are moving out of that, but initially, certainly, everybody felt terrorized, right? This was a completely unseen,
sure,
unknown, uncertain disaster rolling toward us, taking lives. And I think in that setting, you know, people who, let's say, are science-based, for example, are more likely to dig in further with, you know, I need to go by exactly what the science is telling me to do, that's my most reliable and trusted source, etc. And other people who, for example, maybe they're faith-based, right. Or maybe they're our current leadership based. I mean, I'm not making a value judgment here. I'm simply sure. saying whatever they thought was their lifeline to their moral compass, to their belief system, to their the things that are keep them safe in their world, in their life, keep them employed, keep them having right. money, keep them having things they need for survival, keep them having other people in their lives, all of those things, they probably dug in further. And so the divide was already there. And in fact, I'll say honestly, the divide was there before this administration. It's just that behavior and what is self-permissible has, I think, extended in all kinds of directions. It's not that people didn't have certain belief systems that probably differed greatly from others, but now there is, let's say, less taboo from the top down about how it's acceptable to express those differences and how it's acceptable to behave in terms of those differences. But certainly a tragedy and a trauma of this sort brings out more extreme behavior in the name of fear. You know, your right. mask makes me afraid. I'm going to tell you, don't wear that mask. Oh, I'm going right. to come out in droves. And for other people, you know, I believe the mask keeps me safe and keeps you safe. And I'm terrified that you're opening up. And I, you know, I'm going to say everything I can to keep that from happening because that's not safe for me. Okay. Do you think we're seeing a fair amount of that? Some people feel that if we don't open up, right, they're going to, their lifeline to economic survival is over.
Right. I totally get that. Exactly. I'm seeing everything where everyone is like, well, what you're doing is scaring me. Well, what you're doing is scaring me. And but no one seems to identify with the other person's fear. Like, there doesn't seem mm-hmm. to be any empathy of like, right. oh, I get it. You are terrified that you can't feed your kids. Oh, I get it. You're terrified you're going to get sick. Like, we don't seem to have empathy for each other.
I couldn't agree with you more. I would say if there was some psychological state that I could ask everybody to, you know, make more of an effort in, it certainly would be empathy. Empathy for our healthcare workers. Empathy for, right. you know, I just got off a meeting. You know, I'm very involved with Physicians for Human Rights, and the threats and of physical harm and the stigmatizing and what is happening to healthcare workers is unbelievable.
Around well, I know nothing about this. What's happening?
It's unbelievable. I mean, they're literally returning from shifts, having things thrown at them,
what?
Having them name called. You know, see, when people are afraid of you might be caring or you have something to do with this thing that terrifies me, they can act in all kinds of irrational ways. So whether they're blaming the healthcare workers for speaking up about not having PPE, not having protective equipment, and needing to keep things closed down, you know, whatever people are angry about, they're actually taking it out in cases on healthcare workers, which wow. is pretty terrifying. Because right now, probably one of the most dangerous jobs you could have right now is actually being a nurse. That's probably one of the most dangerous jobs right now, and not what they signed up for, to say the least. But the point is, fear really is not helpful in evoking empathy for people. It you know, it's sort of a more primal emotion state, and it overrides. Fear comes out of deep brain structures, right? The deep brain. And when that is intensely switched on, it can override essentially your frontal cortex.
Right, which is reason and logic, right?
Reason, logic, yes. consequence. If I do this today, if we open up today, what will happen in 2 weeks? You know, like mm-hmm. those kinds of thoughts are damped down by intense anxiety and fear, which emotionally tend to override those kinds of thought processes. So you're seeing people, as you're pointing out, not trying to stand in the shoes of the other whatever. And even if they don't agree with it, be, let's say, sympathetic or understanding, or try to come to compromise, those sorts of things. Or, I don't agree in doing this, but I'll do it because you feel that way. that's not, you know, that's not easy for a lot of people to do. And it takes effort and it takes cognitive effort. And, you know, fear and anxiety don't help that much. And what you, and you, when you talk about the divide in this country, there's a lot of mistrust,
right,
of authority. And you might say understandably, or you might say not understandably, but whatever the case, all this growing mistrust of others, of other sides, of leadership, further, actually, you know, people sort of say, where does conspiracy theory come from? Why
would
people
God.
Believe these things, right?
Yes.
But people who are mistrustful, or when you raise the level of mistrust in authority figures, it absolutely grows the number of people who will believe in conspiracy theory, right?
So, like, yeah, like, what do you do then?
What do
like,
you do?
I
would say you do want to try to find, pick a source that you do trust, someone you do trust, that you think they're reasonable, logical, they make sense to you. Some pick your trusted source. So maybe it's the CDC, maybe it's the WHO, maybe, you know, whatever it is. Use that as your news source to try to make your decisions, to try to make your choices. You don't have to do, I mean, but the good news is that even if something happens, you can choose to go out or not go out. You can choose to put on a mask or not put on a mask.
Right.
And, you know, so you should make your choices for yourself, for your family, where you feel as safe as you can feel.
Right.
Beyond that sort of problem solving, you should add things to your day that help reduce your anxiety level. Because, of course, when we get at a fever pitch, right, it can be really hard to get it back down again. And when you're at your most anxious, you don't make your most intelligent decisions.
Right.
So, you know, whether that's deep breathing or the practice of mindfulness or aerobic exercise, 30 minutes a day, whatever it is that helps, a coping tool to help reduce your anxiety, you should limit your news intake, because watching this ping pong ball of he said, she said, and you're pumping it up and it absolutely raises your anxiety level. So pick your trusted source, check in once a day, twice a day, get rid of the alerts on your phone. Those are just like little pings that, you know, just
and they're all fear-mongering clickbait,
right?
Like,
don't do it.
I used to sit there and watch, like, I'm not going to name personalities that I just so respected, and now everything is like fear-mongering and hatred and finger-pointing and manipulation.
But I would even say,
and that's where I've gotten. Like, so I'm where you said not to be. I mistrust.
But I would say to you, you might not feel trustful, but
I don't.
But everybody should try to move away from
hate. The part that triggers me is the part where I feel the leadership on every level, Democrats, Republicans, mayors, governors, president, and that's my shrink. It was very interesting. He's like, that's maybe because as a kid, you felt, you know, certain things were out of control with the adults, and it's brought up all this weird historical shit for me.
Yeah.
Do you think it's doing that for other people?
Absolutely. No question. I will tell you, the people that are faring the worst, understandably, are people with a history of trauma.
Of course.
Are people with a history of anxiety disorders or mood disorders or substance abuse disorders. Definitely dynamics where they, as you were saying, relate to, I mean, look, who is the president? He's the father of our country. That they call him that for a reason. That's the, you know, maybe one day we'll have a mother of our country, but historically it's been the father of our country, and that is the leadership parental role. And when you feel that the leader is not acting in a parental, in a benign and, you know, guiding and paternal role, it's
across the board. It's been across the board.
And it sets a model. It says to everybody, hey, it's okay to use these words. It's okay to attack. It's okay to bully. You know, it's very hard. I talk to many parents right now who are trying to, like, how do I tell my kid this behavior is not okay when this is the sort of model at the highest level? What I would say to you is all you can do in that problem solving arena is say, don't agree. Here is why you don't agree. Here is how you don't agree. People make mistakes, and vote.
I think this is a great place to take a break. We'll be right back.
Okay, who's tired of fasting or cleanses that just leave you hungry and exhausted? Instead, of rejuvenated and energized? Well, Prolon is the scientifically proven meal plan solution you've been waiting for. Prolon is a revolutionary plant-based nutrition program that nourishes the body while making the cells believe they're fasting. Researched and developed for decades at the University of Southern California Longevity Institute and backed by leading U.S. medical centers, Prolon helps promote healthy blood sugar, support cardiovascular health, and reduce abdominal fat. But Prolon isn't a diet. Prolon is science, science based on Nobel Prize-winning discoveries in medicine. And this all starts with Prolon's five-day program, snacks, soups, and beverages, all designed to keep your body in a fasting state. It's unlike anything you've ever experienced. I did it for 5 days because I've had the absolute hardest time with straight fasts for even 24 hours, and it was a game changer for me. So right now, Prolon is offering Keeping It Real Conversations with Jillian Michaels listeners 10% off their 5-day nutrition program. Just go to prolonlife.com/Jillian. That's prolonlife.com/Jillian for this special offer. That's prolonlife.com/Jillian. All right, everyone knows by now how much I love Skims underwear because I mentioned them a ton and I've been wearing them forever. I mean, I guess specifically a year and change. That's like forever in my life. If I can stick with something for longer than 30 days, it's forever. So this is big for me. And let me tell you, they are worth the hype, from the support they give to their amazing shape. And best of all, they're super comfortable. Whether it's the weightless scoop bra, the fits everybody plunge bra, the fits everybody t-shirt bra, I just get them in sand. You don't see them under anything at all. They're awesome. They're comfortable. I don't even realize I'm wearing them. They go with everything. So shop Skims bras at skims.com now, available in 62 sizes from 38 to 46H. And if you haven't yet, be sure to let them know I sent you. So after you place your order, select podcast in the survey and select my show in the drop-down menu that follows.
What's the easiest choice you can make? Soup or salad? Outsourcing business tasks you hate? What about selling with Shopify? Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From your online start to your first million orders, Shopify's there to help you grow. No matter what your product is, they can help you sell it everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, Shopify can help you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 36% better on average than other leading commerce platforms. Plus, Shopify's award-winning help is there to support your success every step of the way. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/Jillian, all lowercase. Just go to shopify.com/Jillian now to grow your business no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/Jillian.
Angie's List is now Angie, and we've heard a lot of theories about why.
I thought it was an eco move. Fewer words, less paper.
No, it was so you could say it faster.
No, it's to be more iconic.
Must be a tech thing.
But those aren't quite right. It's because now you can compare upfront prices, book a service instantly, and even get your project handled from start to finish.
Sounds easy.
It is, and it makes us so much more than just a list. Get started at Angie.com. That's A-N-G-I. Or download the app today.
Okay, we're back with Dr. Gail Saltz.
There's so much actually that I would love to have you back because I've seen this stoke the fires of ageism, racism.
Otherism.
And I don't understand the origins of those things. And while I know we all, you know, because my mom's also a therapist and she's like, sweetheart, you know, we all have our prejudices. The important thing is to work through them. And my therapist once said to me, he's like, it's this primal fear of the other. And I was like, what the f*** does that mean? And I thought
it's
maybe
true.
You
it's
could.
True. I think, you know, there is sadly and truly some neuroscience to back up and understand why innately we may have otherisms.
Right.
And, you know...
And that is just fear of something different, correct? A different religion.
Different from ourselves.
Right.
Different from ourselves. Whatever ourselves is.
Got
different
it.
From us. And really, it is the, let's say, obligation of society, and it's the point of civilization, you know, so we're not Lord of the Flies. The point of civilizing our children and civilizing ourselves is to do battle with urges that, you know, whatever Freud would have called the id, but I'll say, you know, things that are really not socially acceptable, and otherisms fit in there.
Of course. And that's like healthy shame, right?
Right. Well, you might
somebody says a racial slur,
but you're not going to do it, you know?
Right. Okay.
And, you know, okay.
Yes,
you might,
right.
And you might, you know, you want to say something awful to somebody and bully them, but you're not going to do it. And, you know, the problem is that if you can't acknowledge that you have any of those thoughts, no matter how wonderful a human being you might be, then as long as it remains unconscious, you can't battle with it. You can't say, probably just, you know, we could be talking about microaggressions, you know, that happen all the time, because you don't realize, well, you know, actually, by being white, I get to, whatever it is, call the police and feel they're going to come and help me. I get to have that feeling that I feel if I call the police, they're going to come help me. And someone who is black probably doesn't have that feeling at all right now, doesn't get to have that feeling. And that's not me doing anything terrible to somebody. That doesn't make me a terrible person. But if I can't acknowledge that,
right,
and work all the time with myself, which is hard, on, you know, well, how can I handle that? How can I make that better for somebody else? If I can't be thinking about those things, then I'm sort of not doing the battle of, I will just say it, most basic level, civilizing myself, you know.
Of course.
And they're all, you know, but yes, it's true. Even if you show children black and white somethings, a white child will pick a white doll, okay?
Oh,
generally,
right,
speaking.
Yeah.
And, you know, so these are, they might be there, but it's not that they can't be changed, or it's
but
not
then,
that
right, it's our job to get
with
them a black doll and a white doll, right, as their parents.
And say,
which,
no,
yeah,
we don't do that, you know. This is, it's important. They're the same. They're both human. Mm. They have feelings. They have what, you know.
Gail, we I'd love to, yeah, will you, I know we got to let you go because you're extremely busy.
Sorry.
There's a lot that's come up that I would really love to have you speak on with regard to how we work through these things now, right? So this otherism on a deeper level, and so many are dealing with loss and grief, and I mean, there's so many complex emotions that go along with that we don't understand.
We're heading into a mental health pandemic, for sure.
God.
That's really...
So I'm going to call our mutual publicist, Ashley, and see if I can lock you up sometime very soon. And in the meantime...
Happy to do that.
Guys, check out... If you just want to be absolutely fascinated and grow your brain and not deal with this depressing crap, check out, oh my God, check out Gail's new podcast. It's called Personology, and I mentioned it at the beginning of the show, but it is just a fascinating exploration into the lives and the psychology of the most iconic figures in history. And Gail, what do you think would be your best book for people to get right now?
Right now, I would tell people...
Man, there's time to read.
The most recent book, The Power of Different, The Link Between Disorder and Genius, which is because, you know, more than half of us are going to be struggling with a mental health issue, but that means that we're going to have things that we have to struggle with, but it also means that we have potential strengths. And I think it would be helpful for people to understand what those strengths are and how they can play to them.
You're amazing. And the website, if we want everything Gail, is...
www.drgailsaltz.com, or tweet me at Dr. Gail Saltz.
Thank you so much, Gail. We appreciate it. I'm going to call Ash right now.